mountain breeze are burning wherever you fall.
Hello, Grandad. You're in the kitchen. Hey, how long have you been wearing a pinny for a kilt?
No, that'll do, Jimmy. I'm doing the washing up for your mother.
Oh, heck. That'll mean another visit to the pot stall on the market.
Now, Luke, if you think I'm not capable of doing the job, it's all yours.
Oh, no, I want to have a quick word with me mum about the food for a birthday party on Saturday. Look, I've written a list out.
Let me see. Quite a list. Covers about everything they sell at the cake shop.
Yes, so if mum will tell me what the rest of you want to eat, I'll write it on the back. Where is she?
Ah, she's having 40 winks in the living room. So don't you go disturbing her, understand?
Yes, Grandad. But she might have wakened up by now. I'll just go and see. There she is, in the chair by the fire, fast asleep. Mom! Mom! Are you awake, Mom? She must be dreaming. I mustn't wake her. Still, it might be a nightmare. She's probably dreaming that the rent man's caught us in. Mom! Mom! If it's a bad dream, I'll wake you up if you like. Oh, heck, she is away. Oh, well, never mind. I'll just poke the fire.
What's going on?
Oh, sorry, Mum. Did I wake you?
Oh, it's you, Jimmy. I thought the roof was falling in. Did you want something?
Well, seeing as you're awake, it's about your birthday party next Saturday.
Oh, Jimmy, I don't want a birthday party.
Oh, why not? Everybody should have parties while they're young. And after all, Mum, you'll never see 24 again, will you?
I had a party last year, remember?
Oh, it was smashy. Ozzy was ill for 2 days.
No wonder by the time my friends arrived, your friends had eaten everything.
Well, I offered to go out for some chips, didn't I? Oh, go on, Mum. Let's have a party and enjoy ourselves.
Oh, well, I don't know, Jimmy.
Oh, go on, Mum. Force yourself.
Oh, well, all right. But only a small party.
Good.
Just the family, Alfie Hall, perhaps Mr. Whittle from next door, and Mr. Craythorpe, of course.
Oh, yes, we must have Mr. Craythorpe. Somebody's got to make us laugh.
Jimmy, Theodore's an old friend. We must invite him. And besides, he's hinted that he's making me rather a nice birthday cake.
Oh, well, it'll be a good one, because he takes his cooking very seriously. Do you know, Mum, I've even seen him put a chef's hat on. Just to pour milk on his cornflakes.
Oh, Jimmy, you get worse, you know. I'd better get up and attend to the housework.
No, Mum, you go back to sleep again. I want to talk to Grandad in the kitchen, and it's private. You know, man-to-man stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I'll just glance through the paper for a few minutes. You can leave the catering for the party in my hands. I'll see you don't starve.
Okay, Mum. And between you and me, you're a bit of all right.
You're not so bad yourself.
Ah, there you are, Jim. Yeah, it didn't wake your mother, I hope.
No, the poker did that. Hey, Grandad, guess what I'm buying me Mum for a present? Purple Passion.
What?
You remember? That scent. Mrs. Billington called the other night and put some on the back of my mum's hand. And when you came home, she asked you to smell the lovely perfume. But all you could smell was draft bitter.
No, that's enough of that now. Yeah. I thought your mother said that perfume cost £1 for one wee bottle.
I know. Daft, isn't it? Anyway, that's what I'm buying her.
Wait a minute, little Lord Rothschild. You mean you've actually got £1 to spend?
Yes, it's in my wallet.
You've been spending your money like mad just lately. How do you do it?
Oh, I've got ways of making money. For instance, I do all his homework for him. I charge him sixpence.
But you're always having trouble with your own homework. So how can you get right answers for Rosie?
Oh, if he wants right answers, I charge him a bob.
Aye, well, it all sounds improbable to me. But if you've raised the pound to buy the present, well, that's fair enough.
Come in, Alfie.
That's all, Susan.
Oh, Susan.
Hello, Grandad.
How are you, Alfie?
Oh, I'm fine, Mrs. Sinclair.
Grandad, Alfie and I want to talk to you about a birthday present we're thinking of buying for Mother.
Oh, I see. Well, as long as it's not carpet slippers, because that's what I'm giving her. Which reminds me, I must check the size.
Yeah, oh, I should think it'll be the same size as my mother's. 6 7/8.
Listen to Wonder Brain. Alfie, that's to do with her head.
Oh, be daft. She doesn't wear carpet slippers on her head.
If she's in your family, anything's possible.
If you were going to be cheeky, you can just give me back that five bob I lent you.
Alfie, you lent Jimmy 5 shillings. What for?
Oh, nothing, Susan. Go on, tell us about the present you're going to buy me, Mum.
Now, just a minute, my lad. Alfie, what's this about lending Jim some money?
Well, he saw me in the street at dinner time. He said the house stopped on me back at the crossroads, and Jimmy waved to me just at the same time as a policeman, and I wasn't sure whether to go for the policeman or stop for Jimmy, so I went into first gear and put me brake on, and I fell off.
Alfie, please. The money.
Oh, yes, of course, the money. It what money? The money.
Alfie, did you lend Jimmy 5 shillings?
Yes. You see, he said he was broken. He'd already borrowed 15 shillings off Mr. Craythorpe and Mr. Whittle, so as I got no change, he gave me 15 bob in exchange for a pound note and said we'd call it straight. Jimmy, you didn't tell me. What is purple passion?
There it is on me granddad's face.
Aye. And no wonder. So you've been borrowing your way out of difficulties again, have you?
Well, Grandad, I'll pay it back, I promise.
That's not the point. It's time you were taught the value of thrift.
Thrift? Is that one of them soap powders?
Well, it's nice of you to invite me on Saturday, Mrs. Clitheroe. Although I do hope I won't have to do what I did at last year's party.
Don't worry, Theodore. Jimmy's little pals won't be with us this time.
Oh, good. Well, I know children do have rides on Shetland ponies, but I'm not cut out for trotting on my hands and knees with a rug over my back.
Well, I thought you stuck it out like a hero.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't have minded so much if James hadn't worn his cowboy boots. With spurs on.
It's all right, Theodore. I've warned Jimmy. He's got to behave himself this time. Oh, that sounds like our little Bronco Lane now. It's very quiet. Jimmy, is that you? Jimmy? Theodore?
Yes?
I suppose it is him. It's someone creeping up the stairs.
What? Quick, Mrs. Clitheroe. Hand me your father's walking stick.
What?
It might be one of those sneak thieves who are going about.
You mean a burglar? Oh, dear.
Have no fear. I shall deal with the villain. Now, keep behind me while I open the door. All right, you ruffian. You'd better come quietly. Oh. Are you coming down, or have I to come and get you?
Theodore.
Oh!
Hadn't we better go out into the hall and see who it is?
Don't bother. I surrender.
No. No wonder he was sneaking upstairs. Just look at him. Jimmy, come here.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, look at you. Coat all torn, covered in dirt. What have you been up to?
It wasn't my fault, ma'am. Ozzy started the fight. I only finished it.
Just cut the comedy and slip your coat off. Come on.
Oh, all right, ma'am. Here you are. Oh, wait a minute. I'd better take my wallet out first. Where is it? My wallet. He's gone.
Oh, well, you obviously lost it when you were fighting. Excuse me, Theodore. I'd better go and see what I can do with this coat. I'll deal with you later, young man.
Mr. Craythorpe, what shall I do? I've lost my wallet, and he's got the pound in for my mum's birthday present. Mr. Craythorpe. If I asked you nicely, would you...
No, James. Your grandfather has forbidden it. If I lend you any more money, he'll probably feed me to the Loch Ness Monster. You'd better try and find the wallet, hadn't you?
Yes, but it'll be dark on the spare ground. Mr. Craythorpe, you keep a torch in your car, don't you?
A torch? Oh, I see. You want to borrow it to go and search for your wallet.
Yes, but as it's your torch, I'd hate to break it. So just to make sure I don't break it, you can come with me.
Now, look here, James. You're always summoning my assistance when you're in trouble. But for once, I flatly refuse to be involved. Well, it isn't here, James. Where else shall we search?
Now, where did the fight start? Oh, yes, over there by those hen houses. But be careful how you go. You might find yourself being attacked by an angry chicken.
That will do. At this rate, we're never going to find your wallet.
Well, no wonder with the light from your torch. We'd have done better with a glowworm in a jam jar.
I'm sorry my battery's going, but if you don't stop being funny, I shall be going as well.
I'm sorry, Mr. Craythorpe. We'll try by the hen houses. Come on. What was that you said, Mr. Craythorpe?
It wasn't me. It was some turkeys behind that fence.
Oh, yes. Ozzy told me there'd been some thieves after them turkeys. Hey, Mr. Craythorpe.
Yes, Jane?
If we don't find me wallet and me money, do you think me mama'd like a turkey instead?
James, whatever else we may be, we are certainly not poultry thieves.
All right, the game's off.
Somebody thinks we are.
Stay where you are. I'm a police officer.
Oh, heck. Come on, Mr. Craythorpe. Let's run for it.
Don't try and get away. I've got a police dog here. After him, right?
James, an Alsatian. What should I do? I'm terrified of dogs.
Well, I'm frightened to death of policemen. So we'll both run for it. Come on.
Very well, if you say so. James, I can't help feeling we're doing the wrong thing. I shouldn't be running like this.
Oh, no, you should be running twice as fast.
But surely we can't escape from the dog.
Look, I know this field. We're heading straight for a ditch. Once we're across it, the dog will lose our scent. Oh, did I say dog? Sounds like a werewolf. Come on. Faster.
I'm running as fast as I can. I'm not Gordon Pinney, you know. Oh, dear. I don't think I can continue, James. How much further is it to the ditch?
I'm not sure. I'm sure now.
That's typical of you. Mr. Craythorpe gets into trouble trying to help you, and all you do is laugh.
I couldn't help laughing. There was Mr. Craythorpe, up to his ankles in mud, talking to the copper and trying to be all dignified. He said, "I assure you, officer, I am a citizen of some standing." Then he put his umbrella over his arm, picked up his bowler hat out of the ditch, plumped it on his head, and nearly drowned himself in ditch water.
Oh, dear, cruel Theodore.
I'm surprised at you laughing, Grandad.
Well, you dare laugh in case you crack that war paint you plaster on your mug.
No, Jimmy. No, Susan's right. I shouldn't encourage you. The fact is, you've lost your money through fighting, and you've got to learn your lesson.
Yes. You won't be feeling so comical when Saturday comes and you haven't got a birthday present to give to Mother.
Oh, that'd please you, wouldn't it? Well, I'll borrow a pound off Grandad, and I'll pay him back if it takes all me pocket money for 3 months.
Oh, will you?
Yes, I will, Grandad. I'll pay you back.
Oh, there's no need to pay me back.
Oh, thanks, Grandad.
Because I'm not lending you anything.
See, Susan, there's just what...
Not a penny.
Oh, but you said I hadn't to borrow off anybody outside the family.
Granddad's quite right. And don't ask me for anything.
You, Maggie the Miser? If you had measles, you wouldn't give anybody a spot.
I'll smack your face.
Go on, then. Go on.
Will you both keep quiet?
Pardon me. Am I interrupting the Berlin Peace Conference?
Oh, it's you, Whittle.
Yes, the front door was open, Pete, but I knocked on this door, although I don't think it nobody heard me on account of the fracas you was having.
We were just having a private family discussion.
Oh, I'd love to see you having a row.
Well, Mr. Whittle may as well know, Grandad. After all, he is one of the people who lent money to Jimmy.
It was only a few, Bob. After all, a kid's got to give his mother a birthday present. And knowing your financial difficulties, Pete, well, it was the least I could do.
What financial difficulties?
No, Pete. Jim, explain how things
were. Mr. Whittle, would you like a cup of cake, or a piece of tea, a cup of tea, and I'll go and put the kettle on.
Fine, I'll talk to you later, Jimmy. Whittle, it was very kind of you to help Jimmy, but I want your word. You won't lend him any more money.
Well, if you feel that way about it.
I do.
Okay, in that case, I'll suspect your wishes. I'll stick to me money like a Scotchman. No offense, Pete. Sorry.
Well, all right, Whittle.
Funny thing, I come round here to borrow something myself.
You wouldn't like to borrow my brother for a year or two, would you?
Oh, no, I don't think I could cope with him full time.
Well, I must be off. Bye, Mr. Whittle. See you later, Grandad.
I'll sit out too.
Bye, my dear.
I was wondering, Pete, if you had any turpentine. I've run out and I'm doing up the house like.
Oh, painting, are you?
Oh, the lot. I'm doing a real job of ulterior decorating.
Are you? Well, I think of some turps in the shed. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, Grandad?
Will you go out to the shed and get Mr. Whittle a bottle of turpentine?
Are you sure he wouldn't sooner have a cup of tea?
Hey, get off with you. I'm doing a bit of painting. Yeah, it's surprising, Pete, how much turpentine you need with this stuff. I'm using that emotional paint.
How do you know?
Yes, well, I like things to be modern, you know. Like two different kinds of paper, one striped. All contemptuous.
Yes, I'm sure it'll be very contemptuous.
Because the old fella, me dad, always dead old-fashioned. He has them cloths over the chairs, you know, to keep the hair oil off. You know, anti-mascaras.
Here you are, Mr. Whittle. One pint of turpentine.
Oh, thanks, Jim.
Mr. Whittle, have you got a lot of work to do?
Oh, fair amount, Jim. If the old man had his way, I'd be at it for a month. He wanted the dining room doing with that embossed paper. You know, the pimply stuff. All lumps. I said, if you like, I'll go and get some paper from the chip shop and stick it on with tapioca pudding.
Well, if you had somebody to help you, how much would you pay him?
In your case, Jim, sixpence an hour to keep away from me.
Now, don't bother Mr. Whittle. You've got to raise some money on your own. But remember, no borrowing, understand? And remember the words of Shakespeare. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. For loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry.
What do I care? I'm not married.
Yes, that's all very well, Sonny, but this isn't Bobber Job week.
I know, that's why I'm offering a cheap rate. A Bobber Job for ninepence.
I don't care. I do not want my head straightening for ninepence.
It's worth ninepence to chop that big lump in the middle down.
It's taken me 3 years to grow that big lump, as you call it. It's going to be shaped into the figure of a peacock. So I'm afraid you're wasting your time.
So are you. I've just cut it down. Office? Do you want any part-time postmen? Well, what if I am a lad? It's only a few weeks to Christmas. Well, do you want any stamps licking?
Jimmy, I don't want any work doing.
Look, there must be something I can do for you. Everybody says you can't do anything for yourself.
Look, I lent you the money. You lost it. Now, there's nothing else I can do.
I don't want to borrow anything. I want to do some odd jobs.
Oh, go and hatch a pot egg. That's an odd job.
I know. I'll cut your hair for a tanner.
My hair doesn't need cutting.
Get away. You're nearly standing on it. If you don't get it cut soon, you'll have to buy a frock. Three days flogging myself to death for a measly four bob. Still, this might do it. I should have thought of the Higginbottoms before. Hello, Mr. Higginbottom.
Oh, it's you, troublemaker.
You always have your little joke.
I've been wanting to see you, Clitheroe. What happened to our Aussie on Tuesday?
Oh, he had a bit of bad luck.
I know, I met you. His collar was ripped, his nose was bleeding.
We were only playing pig.
What with, hammers?
Well, in our gang, if you give them a gentle shove, they don't count it as a pig. I just shoved Aussie on the back a bit too hard, that's all.
A shove in the back can't do all that damage.
Well, when I shoved him, he was up a tree.
You little hooligan. Anyway, clear off. I'm busy. I'm just coming out to clean our windows.
But, Mr. Higginbottom, I've called round to invite Aussie to a birthday party.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and you and Mrs. Higginbottom to me mum's birthday party on Saturday.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mother, I must say.
You'll come, then?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Would you like to give me the entrance fee now? It's 5 bob each.
Entrance fee?
Yes, 15 bob. If you'd like to make it 16, you can bring your greyhound.
Now, what are you up to, you little scrounger?
What do you mean?
Your mother didn't tell you to collect 5 bob a head. Now out with it. What's your game?
Well, I've lost the money I'd saved for my mum's birthday present. I need a pound and all I've made in 3 days is 4 blinking bob.
I see. Well, your mother's a nice woman, so for her sake, I'll help you.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Higginbottom.
I'm not doing it for you. I still think you need a good hiding.
Yes, Mr. Higginbottom. It's very kind of you to give me 16 shillings.
I'm giving you nothing.
You're a big twister, you said.
I'm going to give you some work to do.
Oh, good old Mr. Higginbottom.
Here, get hold of this bucket and cloth, and I'll get these steps ready for you.
What do you want me to do?
Clean these bottom windows. They're due for a wash today.
From the muck on them, they were due for a wash when King Canute got his feet wet.
What was that?
I said I'll have to be careful I don't get my feet wet. Anyway, I'll wash all the bottom windows for 16 bob, right?
Wrong. You'll wash them for 2 bob.
2 bob?
That's right. I'm not mad altogether.
You could fool me. All right, I'll do them. 2 bob for this lot. Whoops.
Oh, what's happened?
Don't worry, Mr. Higginbottom. I won't charge you for that one.
Oh.
Quiet now, quiet!
Silence, please. Silence for Mrs. Whittle.
Thank you, one and all. Well, what I want to say...
Oh, get on with your speech, Whittle.
All right, Jock, don't bust your spotting.
Come on, Harry, let's have it.
If you're not going to make a speech, show us your muscles.
Right, so hang on. All I want to do is to propose a toast to a lovely young woman.
It's my birthday, Harry, not Susan's.
It's you I'm talking about, Pat. A toast to the loveliest and nicest young woman in this or any other street. Oh. Here's to Pat, who looks as though she's only just old enough to have her 21st.
Yeah. Go on, Harry, I can listen to your sort of lies forever.
He's right, Mrs. Clitheroe. Here's to the nice...
Belt up, Alfie! I propose in the toast, so don't show your ignorance.
Well, hurry, oatmeal lemonade's losing its fizz.
Jimmy. Go on, Mr. Whittle.
Yes, carry on, Harry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Whittle.
Thank you. Now, as I was saying... What was I saying?
You were telling lovely fibs about how young I look.
quiet.
Oh, Whittle, see, cheerio, and let's drink the toast.
All right. Seeing as how Jock's tongue is hanging out like a lizard waiting for a fly, I ask you to raise your glasses and drink to Pat.
Oh, just a minute. Mother should cut the cake first.
Oh, well, yes, that's right. After I blow out the candles, Susan very kindly only put on 5.
Maybe she thought you were sure to win, Mum. I bet Mr. Whittle could cope with 100.
Oh, that's a good one, Jimson.
You're wrong, you know. You drink first and then cut the cake after. Because when my Auntie Mary got married to my Uncle Tom, her eldest daughter, of course it was a second wedding. My Auntie Mary's, I mean, not a daughter. Well, she said that when...
Somebody put a sack over his head.
No, quiet now, everybody. Blow out the candles, Mrs. Clitheroe. Go on.
Right, here goes.
Oh, good luck.
Well, now, if you'd all like to go in the lounge, Susan and I'll clear the dishes and bring you some cakes. You see to the drinks, Father.
No, Mrs. Clitheroe. No, you go into the lounge and we'll serve it.
Yes, Mum, I'll clear the cups and saucers.
Not my best china, you won't.
I'll do it, Mother.
Now, we'll all help. Now, we go, Pat.
All right, then. But you come with me, Jimmy, and you can help me open my present.
Right, Mum, but you don't need to open mine. Here it is. To the best mum in the world.
Oh, Jim. It's that perfume Mrs. Billington showed me. Oh, you shouldn't have spent all that money. Oh, you're a darling, Jim. Oh, come on, son. Let's see what else I've got, eh?
Right, Mum. I think old Susan's bought you a packet of hairpins.
I thought he only earned 4 shillings. How did he get that?
Well, now, my dear, you didn't really think I'd leave him without a birthday present to give his mother, did you now?
You old softy.
Well, no, I just let him sweat it out for a few days, mind you. I didn't give him the 16 shillings for nothing. I bought his old roller skates off him to send to the children's home. So he had to give up something.
Well, the cunning little skiver.
What do you mean?
He touched me for 7 and a tenner for a set of dominoes with the 6 missing.
They were mine.
Well, I'm surprised, James. He got 12 shillings from me. And what can I do with a pair of boxing gloves?
You'd better join me. I bought these punch balls. For 10 bob.
The wee scamp. 7 and 6. 10 bob. 12. And my 16. £2.5 and 6.
And the perfume was only a pound.
Grandad, my mum said, have you given everybody a drink? And I...
Jimmy... You made 25 and 6 profit out of your mother's present, didn't you?
I did. And that reminds me.
What?
How long do I have to wait for your birthday?
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Leonard Williams as both Theodore Craythorpe and Harry Whittle, Danny Ross as Alfie, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbotham, and Brian Truman as the other voices. The recorded program, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
Wondering, nobody told me Mum about me. They said they'd let me off because it was her birthday. I still went to bed with a shocking pain. No one laid a finger on me. I just laid my hand on the birthday cake too often. Oh, my aching tummy.